Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterville Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, live in Washington, D.C., as we're tracking a number of huge stories that are happening right here. Obviously, we've got this infrastructure fight. We've got this battle over whether or not we're going to spend $1.5 trillion, which is what Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia wants. He only wants to spend $1.5 trillion, or if we're going to spend $3.5 trillion or $5.5 trillion. It is fair to say that there's a little bit of chaos setting in here. I'm live at the Federation for American Immigration Reform, the FAIR, Hold Their Feet to the Fire, Radio Row here. We're going to be talking a lot about immigration as well, but the rule on the program is pretty clear. It is the big stories that matter to you and me here in Charlotte and beyond are going to be the stories we're going to look at. And the reality is this spending package continues to be an absolute mess. It is an absolute mess of epic proportions. And when you look at some of the coverage that's happening out there, and I want to invite you to be a part of the conversation on Twitter at Winterville Show, and at the Facebook page at the Brett Winterville Show, and of course on the phones at 704-570-1110. And the main question I would ask you is whether or not we are looking at something that is important or something that is urgent as it relates to this infrastructure bill. I look back over time and I say to myself, and I say to myself often because I talk to myself a lot, but I say to myself, okay, what is the imperative here in this country? What is the absolute top line imperative for people in the United States of America? And it's obvious. It's getting back to work. It's to be able to staff up positions in your companies, whether they're small businesses, whether they're school bus drivers, whether it's wait staff, what have you. The most important imperative that we have in this country right now, coming off of the Wuhan flu, the COVID-19 pandemic, is to get our economy back where it needs to be. Now, does that come from shovel-ready jobs and infrastructure and roads and bridges? Well, remember, it was President Trump who originally pitched us on this idea of doing infrastructure. He wanted to do infrastructure back in 2017, 18, 19. He wanted to do it, and the Democrats kept tubing it out. They said, we can't afford it. We're not going to do it. We gave you a tax cut. It's just too bad for you. You're not going to get to do this infrastructure package. That was in a very, very high time. That was in a time when we were riding pretty high on the hog here. And we are now in a condition that I think is tragic, to see people not going to work, to be paid not to go to work, to have a wide open border at the southern border of the United States, where you've got people from 148 countries coming in, including people that are affiliated with known terrorist organizations, 1.6 million that we know of, X number that we don't know of, all of this happening at the same time. And we're supposed to believe that we need to go build high-speed rail, that we need to build a bypass to get you to the beach quicker and all that sort of stuff. That's what we're being told to spend the money on. But in addition, the real tragedy is, with a wide open border, with 1.6 million people coming in this past fiscal year, as Biden migrants, as Biden refugees, as Biden voters, potential Biden voters down the road, what we have happening here is something that is potentially cataclysmic. I ask the question, is it important or is it urgent? Why do you ask that question? Well, because if you've got something in front of you that is urgent, it means there's an important immediate deadline, or maybe you have passed through an immediate important deadline. If something is important, it's because of the impact it can have on the country's life. And spending $3.5 trillion or $4.5 trillion or $5.5 trillion or $6.5 trillion or $9 trillion, that is something that is devastating potentially to the U.S. economy. We are dealing with a level of inflation that we have not seen since the 1970s, and maybe since forever. And it is not transitory. Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen are out there testifying on Capitol Hill. I mean, it's literally two football fields from where I'm sitting. I'm looking at the dome. I'll post another picture of it today for proof of location. But the fact of the matter is, is inflation is destroying our economy because we've pumped so much money into the economy. It just drives prices up. It is a supply crisis right now. Let me tell you something that you might not otherwise know, because I go through a panoply of news sources every single day. Do you know right now, and I mentioned this a few days ago, that there are a number of cargo ships off the coast of Southern California, off the coast of Long Beach, California. The port of Long Beach is one of the busiest ports in the entire world. It might be the busiest port in the entire world. We have right now, and I want you to think about this, because when you look at the containers that go on those ships, every one of those containers is about the size of a tractor trailer, right? You've seen them on the highways in Charlotte. You've seen them around different states when you're traveling to and fro. And you see those shipping containers on the back of those cargo ships. We have right now, sitting in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Long Beach, half a million cargo containers that have not been unloaded yet, that are just sitting out there. You know, when you go to the store and you've got shortages and everything, you know, we've got shortages in chips, we've got shortages in this kind of food or that kind of food or this sort of equipment or that sort of equipment. You have a half a million containers. Imagine a half a million tractor trailer trucks worth of stuff sitting out there off the coast in Southern California. The president of the United States could issue an emergency declaration and tell the longshoremen, you're leaving the ports open 24/7, 365, till we unload every last damn ship. They won't do it. They will not stand up to the unions. Why? Because this $3.5 trillion payoff is going to be a payoff that will feather the nests of the unions. It will feather the nests of the special interests. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, built into this procedural vote that's going to come down is 10 million slots for amnesty. That is the great desire of the Biden-Harris administration. The reason why they're willing to do the shovel-ready projects and the roads and the bridges and the airports and the runways and the subways and all that kind of stuff is because they know that's like $1.3 trillion. They want the real cheesecake, and the real cheesecake is $3.5-4 trillion, or as Joe Biden and Circleback Saki like to say, it's zero. The amount is actually zero. It's not going to cost anything. It's going to be a magical thing that we're going to fix. So I want to get your reactions. I want to get your thoughts. At the bottom of this hour, Jason Miller is going to come by. He is late of the Trump campaign, but we're going to be talking about what's going on with Instagram.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instagram, Facebook, News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show live in D.C. And I am thrilled to be joined by this next guest, someone who's been on our program in the past, Tom Homan, who is a hero as far as I'm concerned when it comes to trying to secure the border, worked in the Trump administration. Good to have you back, Tom. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So we got some numbers yesterday. We saw what, 1.64 million in that fiscal year of detainees, but we don't have the gotaways. How bad is it on the border right now, Tom?
Worst I've ever seen. I've done it for 35 years. The gotaways are going to be at least 350,000, if not closer to 400,000. So take that 1.6 and make it 2 million. Which is the highest ever. Well, the secretary said the border's secure and closed, so we shouldn't worry.
You have an extensive career in law enforcement. We're watching two horrible things happen at the same time. The defund the police movement, you're watching this war on ICE detainers, and you're also watching this open border. Something's got to give at some point here. I mean, what are we going to do about this?
I think the American people are getting smart fast, because I said from day one, they started talking about defunding the police. I said, less cops equals more crime. And we're seeing that in the major cities right now, run by Democratic mayors and governors. As far as, you know, what's happening on the border is unprecedented. It's the worst it's ever been. You know, secretary was on Fox with Chris Wallace and Sonny saying, we've seen this before. No, we haven't. You liar. Boy, he lies. He constantly lies. We've seen surges before, but they won't release the mass numbers before.
Right.
We didn't have 350,000 gotaways before. When we had the surge on the Trump administration, what we did differently, we detained people. We made them see a judge. Most of them lost their case, like 90%. We put them on the planes and sent them home, and the numbers went down. We did that during the Obama administration, during FY14 and 15. So this is far different, Mr. Mayorkas, because you're releasing them in massive numbers. And you can stand there and say, don't come. You won't succeed. We'll send you home. You can say all the words you want. You actually speak louder than your words. While you're telling the American people that you're up there saying, don't come, you won't succeed, or you'll be deported, at the same time you're saying that, you knew 12,000 were being released. Patients that weren't tested for COVID,
right,
released into our communities. We don't know who the hell even are. You said they're in removal proceedings Sunday on Chris Wallace show. At the port of, at the Del Rio, he said they're detained. And if, on Sunday, you said, no, in fact, they're in the removal proceedings. And Chris Wallace got out of your removal proceedings means released.
Right.
So, you know, the and he says they're in removal proceedings, but they were released on an NTR. And I have an NTR.
Mm-hmm.
The NTR says, last paragraph, the NTR says, you are not in immigration proceedings. You will not be detained by ICE for humanitarian reasons. You are released.
Right.
So a stone cold lie.
When you look at the situation, the way they're playing this game in the Biden administration, obviously Vice President Harris was the czar of the border, went down and went to the triangle countries. That's three countries, four countries, if you throw Mexico into the mix. We got people in from 148 countries, Tom. I mean, this is absurd.
Well, first of all, one thing that Kamala Harris learned from the president of Honduras, the president of Guatemala, and the president of Mexico, all three presidents told her the crisis is your problem because of your policies.
Right.
They told her that.
Right.
So, and I'll say this to Kamala Harris. First of all, she's an anti-immigration enforcement. She compared ICE to the KKK. She said Border Patrol were inhumane to the people they arrest. While she was senator, she wrote a lot of open borders, sanctuary city policy. So she's not for immigration enforcement. That's the worst pick you could have had. Well, maybe AOC would have been worse, but yeah. It's the worst pick you could have had. And she says she's looking for root causes. So she travels around the world. When she just walked down the hall and go to the Oval Office, and she'll find the root cause right there. His policies, his promises he made during campaign, his promises that he kept when he signed the executive orders, that's what causes crisis. Look, we handed them the most secure border of my career, 35 years, most secure border ever, and Joe Biden purposely, intently undid it. A president of the United States took the most secure border we ever had and made it less secure on purpose. A president of this country is supposed to secure this country, protect our sovereignty, protect Americans. He did the complete opposite. That's the most un-American thing a president ever did.
Final question for you. Very gracious with your time. You look at the state of law enforcement in this country, the state of the Border Patrol in this country, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Why does anybody want to even be in that field anymore, given the fact that all you do is get beat down, pushed down, and slammed and slimed?
It's tough. The morale is at an all-time low. We're having trouble recruiting. Now we're going to have 1,000 Border Patrols quit because they won't get the vaccine. And, and these men and women standing on the front line, put their lives at risk. They got to get the vaccine or get fired, but they're arresting thousands a day that right. The White House says there's no vaccine requirement. And why did she say that? Because they weren't staying long. She's an idiot. Psaki is an idiot because if she don't think illegal aliens across the country to stay here,
right.
Why the hell are they coming?
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense. This administration is non-transparent. They lie, and the American people ought to be sick of it. They all need to go. Secretary Mayorkas ought to resign in shame. He's an embarrassment to the position he holds. He is the Secretary of Homeland Insecurity because this board is much less secure on his leadership.
I appreciate your service to the country, helping to keep us safe, and I appreciate you still getting the word out here. Thank you so much for coming by, sir.
Appreciate you having me.
It's Thanks. Great to have you here. That's Tom Holman, and I'm Brett Woodable, taking your reaction straight ahead.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT live in Washington, D.C. I am Brett Woodable. We're here for the Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row. But so much else is going on here simultaneously. You had the big hearing yesterday with the generals and the House of Representatives, House Armed Services Committee. You've had hearings into the economy, and you've had a very substantial and important hearing into what it is that Facebook and Instagram are up to, especially this impact on children. It is disturbing in the extreme. I'm happy to welcome to the program somebody that we got to know a little bit during the campaign, and he's joining us now. Jason Miller joins us from his new operation that he's got going on, and that is raising the alert and the alarm for what it is that's going on in these social media platforms. Jason, thanks so much for making time for us today in Charlotte.
Hey, Brett, thank you very much for having me. And boy, I tell you, what a crazy week. You know, if you told me a year ago that I'd be locked in this Mortal Kombat death grip fighting for free speech rights all over the, not just the country, but over the world, I would have said that you're absolutely crazy. But you know what, we saw this last year, whether it be the social media companies clamping us down and saying that we can't say outrageous things like the virus came from a lab in Wuhan, or Dr. Anthony Fauci isn't always right, or the Hunter Biden laptop scandal is real, or President Trump should still have First Amendment rights and be allowed on social media. Who would have thought all of these things would have happened? But that's really where we are right now.
And look, you've launched a brand new platform to protect free speech called Getter, G-E-T-T-R. I've signed up over there. I've got an account over there. And I think, you know, more speech, more discussion, more debate, the better, more healthy it is here in this country. But we've got these bosses, these oligarchs in many ways, these tech oligarchs who have got it locked down, Jason. And it's one thing to disagree and ban people because you don't agree with their politics. It's something much more serious, though, when it comes to the health, safety, and welfare of our children. And I know that you were as shocked as I was to find out that they were gonna launch Instagram for kids, for actual kids, children. And people have now found out in these last weeks, you know, that these guys are all about exploiting the misery of children and teenagers to a very dangerous degree.
You know, it's so messed up. And look, my oldest daughter is 12. She turns 13 next weekend. So I'm right. She's in seventh grade. So I'm right at that stage where I'm seeing as a parent just the pressures of online social media and the way that this, especially for young girls, how this changes their thinking. They start to get self-conscious about different pressures that people put on them. And look, it doesn't take some Rhodes Scholar to figure out that this is an impressionable young age. I mean, heck, think about back to the brands that you first were exposed to in, say, middle school that you still use today. You know, I remember the ad campaigns, whether it be Nikes with Air Jordans, you know, the Nobody, Nobody, Nobody with Spike Lee or Charles Barkley doing Right Guard, or any of the different promos that were kind of influential in our youth. The fact that Facebook and Instagram were going to go and target these young teenagers and preteens for something like Instagram, where everything is, you know, a whole bunch of injections and wear this outfit and spend money on these things. I mean, it's sick. I mean, it's even, in a lot of ways, I mean, it's even worse than, you know, peddling cigarettes to kids. I mean, this is, these are things that can really warp someone's mind if they think they have to look like an Instagram model or an Instagram influencer, and that they were intentionally doing this, essentially hook them on this digital crack at an early age. It's disturbing. One of the things, you know, when I said with Getter when we launched it, that I want to have a strict policy of 16 as far as the youngest age that you can sign up, because you don't want to have people that young impressionable age.
You know, it's an incredible thing. I mean, we throw around, you know, Section 230 and all that sort of stuff like it's a magical fix. But this is cultural rot that we're doing battle with, isn't it, Jason?
It really is. I mean, this goes to it's to see this confluence of the cancel culture on one side and then the identity politics on the other. But then since they're a big tech company, then, you know, if it was a right-of-center outlet or company that was, you know, say it was someone trying to introduce the Second Amendment, for example, to kids, and they would say, oh, they'd cry bloody murder and say that we're trying to raise a generation of murders or something of that nature. But since it's the left, then they say, oh, well, you know, of course, anything the tech companies want to do, then they should be okay. But it's really disturbing kind of this their version of a community shaping or world shaping. You know, Brett, I don't know about you, but I never voted for Jack Dorsey. I never voted for Mark Zuckerberg. I never said you're in charge of writing any of our laws or setting our community policies. And so I think it's really disturbing. And heck, I know certainly it wouldn't be someone like Terry McAuliffe saying that the parents aren't allowed to say anything about their kids' educations. I'm an Arlington voter, so I know who I'll be voting for. It won't be the Macker, I can tell you that. But no, it's disturbing that the left now wants to do this world shaping. I think it's wrong.
It is. Where do people go to find out more about Getter and to sign up?
Absolutely. So go to Getter.com, GETTR.com. You go to the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store. Brett, so many cool people have joined recently. We have people from politics like Sean Hannity and Mark Levin, Dinesh D'Souza. We even have folks on the left, feminist author Naomi Wolf. We even have people who don't even care, who aren't even in American politics. Enos Kanter, who's the center for the Boston Celtics. We have all sorts of people from across the spectrum who've joined. Here's what we ask. If you support free speech and if you oppose cancel culture, come and check out Getter. I think it'll be your favorite social media platform in no time.
Great stuff. Appreciate talking to you, Jason. I know we'll be speaking as we get closer and closer and closer to either Armageddon or 2022, my friend. It's great to catch up with you, and all the best.
All right. Thanks, my man.
Take care. That's Jason Miller.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Getter, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Have mercy. News Talk 1110. We welcome to the program now one of our truly good friends, and we have many, but he is among our favorites. Breaking, Brett Jensen, Brett_Jensen on the Twitter. Brett Jensen, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So here's what we got going on here. We got drama going on here in the Capitol, but we got other drama going on down in our neck of the woods. Tell me what is happening in Charlotte vis-a-vis all the issues that are out there facing our people.
Well, there are a couple of things going on, but we just literally finished a 30-minute press conference with Mayor Val Lyles that lasted from 3 to 3:30 and stopped at 3:30 on the dot.
Right.
And so I think every media outlet got to ask one question. And my question that I asked was, and that she took a little bit of umbrage with, shocker. But my question was, today the residents that used to be part of Tent City, we may all remember Tent City and what a, like, a cluster that was, and Dina DiIorio calling out the city manager and Mayor Val Lyles and the Sheriff McFadden for not helping and everything else, even though part of it was on city property. So the residents went to a hotel, and the city was basically paying for this, you know, with COVID funding. Today, the residents from Tent City had to vacate that hotel. And most of them are going to go into temporary facilities. You know, I know the Catholic Church has a very strong one here in Charlotte, you know, for homeless people. And so, but that's a very, obviously, very temporary solution. So I asked her, I said, once the temporary solution is over and once they are forced to vacate these shelters, which will be sooner rather than later, if a tent city were to pop up again, will the city wait and do nothing and wait on the county to have to do everything, even though it was on city property? And
what was the answer?
That was not a question well received.
Yeah.
And she said that she wanted to take a little bit of didn't necessarily agree with my question that they were waiting on the county, even though it was literally the county who had to do everything in terms of eradicating Tent City and the rat infestation and everything else that was going on over there, you know, alleged sexual assaults and everything else. So you know, and so she spoke, I want to say it was about 3 minutes. Her answer was like 3 minutes about, trying to help the homeless and stuff like that. But she also said, she did say at the very end that it was something that they think that they have learned from to never let it get to that situation again, get to that point where it was, because that was really the very first and only tent city Charlotte has ever had.
Now, hold on. Weren't we just debating like 2 weeks ago about where we were going to spend all this overage of money that we were getting because of the COVID money? Weren't we talking about that just like 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago at the county level?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't we tap that money rather than blowing through it on whatever raises or junkets or whatever it's going to be? Why don't we tap that money and use that to have something in place to try to resettle these folks?
No, many of them have been resettled, but the problem is, the reason I asked Mayor Vallejo is because, you know, the county does their thing and the city has their coffers as well, you know, the separate, mm-hmm. completely separate from the county. And so it was the county and Dina Diorio famously doing that press conference and just dropping hammers on everybody about everyone turning their back on Tent City, and named them by name, dropping the hammer. And so that's why I asked Vi Lyles specifically, would she allow it to happen again on city property, or would she rely the or prevent it from happening this time?
That's crazy.
But many of the homeless residents have been placed. She said something around 200 residents that were homeless have now been placed in full-time housing.
Wow. Well, this story is going to continue. We're obviously going to keep looking at it. Brett Jensen, I appreciate you coming by and breaking it down today.
Well, I appreciate it, Brett. And like I said, by the way, while you're up there, go to Old Emmett's. It's the oldest bar
Emmett's?
In Washington, D.C. It is my favorite place in D.C.
Can I drop your name? Will they give me a free round?
A free round of kicks in the rear end, maybe, but yeah.
All right, Brett Jensen, I'm back tomorrow, man. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks a lot.
All right. I'm going to go drop his name at a bar and be like, oh, that guy still owes us $750. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993, WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterble Show. 704-570-1110 is our number. Good to be a part of your day as we move into hour number two. Later this hour, we got some great stuff happening. Going to visit with somebody who's got extensive experience on the border as it relates to the war on drugs. I'm going to give you some updates on fentanyl and methamphetamines and all that terrible stuff. 450, we're going to move the crossing of the streams to 450 today. Bo Thompson comes by. And I know folks are absolutely losing their minds over the Mick Jagger sighting last night. And you weren't out there, were you, TJ? Were you out there hanging out with Skinny Mick?
I wasn't. No, it wasn't my night to be at the Thirsty
River.
Oh,
see. Look at that. Look at that. Listen, there are still tickets. There are not a ton of them. There are still tickets available. You can buy them, you can get them, and you can be a part of what's going to be a historic program, a historic show tonight. They're playing so many of their amazing hits, the Rolling Stones are. And I want to encourage you to get those tickets while you can. It is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to be honest with you. If you really think about the scope and the scale of the talent of the Rolling Stones, what they mean to rock and roll, how they operate as the connective tissue from the earliest days of rock and roll to the present day, and they're still an incredibly vital, high-energy show, even without Charlie Watts being there, who is just such an incredible talent. So grab those tickets where you buy tickets and enjoy the show. Bring a Gen Xer. No, bring a Gen Zer. bring a generation. You know what's after Gen Z? I heard Pete Callender talking about this. The people who are after Gen Z are Generation Alpha. That's not a very creative name. Gen Alpha? I don't know that I'm down for that nickname for sure. 704-570-1110. We covered a ton of stuff in the first hour of the program, and I certainly want to invite you to be a part of the discussion. Let me jump out. I want to talk to I'm going to take Craig early on here on the program. Here is Craig joining us. Welcome, Craig. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in.
I'm actually getting echo through my phone as I'm talking. Bear with me.
Okay.
I had some experience in relation to the California.
Oh, okay. I'm losing. Craig, I'm going to put you back on hold. I'm losing you. I don't want to lose you because you have important stuff to say about the homeless issue. So let's see if we can get him into a cleaner spot. That will make way for our friend Jim. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello, Brett. Hope you're enjoying your time inside the Beltway.
I am in the swamp, my friend. We are knee deep in the swamp.
Be careful of crocodiles and snake balls.
That's right, snake balls. So what do you got? What's on your mind about this budget fight?
Yeah, I was listening. Oh, the Stones. Can I say something about the Stones real quick? They're appearing there in D.C., right?
Charlotte.
Oh, in Charlotte. Oh, yeah, you got to see the Stones. You know why? The interaction that goes on with the guitars, it's just so seamless when you hear it come over, you know, the radio or even listen to a record. That's why you have to go see them. There's so much going on. There's so many layers to what they do. If there's one thing I can say about them, it's a must see. It's got to be on your bucket list for the interaction that goes on between Ron Wood and Keith Richards.
Look at that testimony coming in from Jim, who's a musician of his own right. So that's great stuff, man.
Yeah. You really don't appreciate it unless you really explore, the what they do. Explore guitar on the levels that they do. You know, I mean, the blues-based, rock and roll-based guitar playing, that is how I cut my eye teeth. And still,
well, speaking of the blues, what about the budget? What about the budget and the blues, the budget blues?
Well, you don't have to sit up at night and worry that they're going to seize one of our warships. We're not anywhere near the trouble that Argentina was when the hedge fund wouldn't let their ship sail. Remember I told you about that last week?
Yes.
Yeah, Mark Levine broke it down pretty good. Of the $320 billion that the U.S. government takes in every month, only $40 billion of it goes to pay for that loan, the loan that is out to pay for the entire U.S. budget. So there's still $275 billion every month of fat and gristle from all the revenue. The diversified portfolio of revenue that the United States government has exceeds Argentina by exponential amounts. So don't worry. They're not going to keep one of our aircraft carriers. They're going to load beans and bullets and let the tug pull them out. They're not going to do anything. These hedge funds, the powers that be, they're in charge of the corporate banking institutions, are fat and happy. And the U.S. government is keeping them in good stead. So at this point, we're okay. But if they keep pushing out these massive amounts of money and, loading up smorgasbord with all this nonsense, maybe next month it might be a different story.
No, it won't be. It will not be. And you know what? They're going to get the $1 trillion coin. They're not going to do that either. None of this is going to happen. But you raise an important point, and I want to jump in on this. And thank you, Jim, as always, for your participation. Here's the issue. If you want to get money into the hands of working people, why do you have to send it to Washington, D.C. first in the form of taxes? Why can't Joe Biden and the Pelosicrats, why can't they just cut taxes and let people keep more of their money? Why does it have to first go through the hands of the Treasury and then Bernie Sanders and then AOC and Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer? Why do they have to take it when you could just cut taxes? You could just say, you know what, we're going to cut the taxes even more than Trump cut them. We're going to out-Trump Trump with the tax cuts. Why do you have to send money to Washington to fight climate change? Why does the money have to go to the Capitol in order to stop climate change? Why do you have to, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Maybe you can help me out here, folks. I do not understand why the money has to touch Washington, D.C. before it can.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Utilized. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull's show live in Washington, D.C. at the Hold Their Feet to the Fire. Get together the radio row here from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. One of the stories that I'm passionate about as a father, as a husband, is this slow motion execution of our youngest people in this country that is happening as a result of fentanyl and illegal narcotics that are coming into our country. And somebody who is on the front lines, and I mean the front lines of this fight, joins me now here in person. And it's Derek Maltz, who was, you were DEA in New York City. You have worked this scourge forever. And I want to welcome you to the program, to the great people in Charlotte, because, man, we are starting to see an epidemic of fentanyl on the streets and in our communities, Derek.
Yeah, right. So thank you, Brett, and hello to the people in North Carolina, a great state. So I was in the DEA 28 years. I ended my career as a special operations director of the DEA, but we had 30 agencies, three countries, NYPD, synchronizing operations against all kinds of transnational criminals, but obviously the cartels were our number one focus. I watched this evolution of the Chinese transnational criminals dumping poisonous synthetic drugs in our country going back probably like 2007, 8, 9. They were dumping K2 and spice, synthetic marijuana, bath salts. A lot of kids were getting sick. Then they got a lot of pressure on that. They started making this fentanyl in labs, in Wuhan-style labs. And they were starting to sell it like all over the internet, and we had deaths all over the country, like 2012, 2013. Of course, the Obama administration was warned. There wasn't too much emphasis on it at the time, and then it just continually got worse over the years. Now we're in a crisis that we've never seen. The cartels are the enemy of our children. The younger generation is being destroyed. They're using social media to buy stuff. The stuff is being delivered right to their houses. Parents are waking up in the morning. The young one is lying in the bed on the computer, dead. And no one understands it because the public is not being told the details of it. This week, the DEA administrator put out a warning. I was happy to see it on NBC Today show. And they seized 9.5 million of these fake pills already that are on the streets of this country. And the scary part is they did an analysis that 40% of those pills have a fatal dose of fentanyl. 40%. That means the DEA seizures alone saved over 3 million people.
Unbelievable.
And so it's really scary because, you know, if you think about what's been seized, then you got to ask yourself what's out there.
Right.
And then you look at the social media aspect. The kids are all over social media. So I'll give you an example. This is for everyone in the country. We're in the world now. It's crazy. There's anxiety, social anxiety. People are popping pills. They take Xanax for anxiety. So right. Mom and dad take Xanax. It's good. No problem. The doctor prescribes it. Cool. But then the kid sees it, and the kid's under anxiety, too. Of course, parents, they sometimes don't pay attention to that because they worry about themselves. Then the kid takes a pill from mommy, takes a pill from daddy. Then they take another one and another one. They start feeling better. When a supply runs out, what do you think they do?
Yeah.
They go on Google. They figure out where to get it. They go on the streets. They talk to their friends. And next thing you know, they're dead. And then the parents are, like, devastated. Like, my kid didn't have a drug problem.
Right.
That's how quick it's happening.
Right.
And so it's really an urgency. And but, of course, we don't even have any public service announcements, right?
No.
And it's disgusting. I mean, I made YouTube videos. I put them out there. And it's just mind-boggling. Every parent wants to know, why isn't the government talking about it? Well, it's real simple. The government doesn't want to talk about China and Mexico because it's a political nightmare for them.
Right.
They don't want ownership of this open border. They don't want ownership that they're going soft on crime.
Right.
And I have a saying, keep the drugs, the bugs, and the thugs out of America. That's not consistent to what this administration wants, right?
Right.
So you look at what's going on the border. But what's really devastating for me is I speak to families every day. There's a Facebook site called Lost Voices of Fentanyl. There's another site, the Fentanyl Coalition. I highly recommend everyone to take a look. I have a personal site called National Security and Public Safety. I put a lot of stuff out. There's a new documentary that came out this week. Highly recommend everyone watching it. Dead on Arrival. It's families from California that I know very well. Mm-hmm. I work with them every day. They have stories that they tell, and every family in America can relate to the story. And these same families have been on NBC. They've been on Fox. They're pushing hard to try to get the message out to save lives, and that's what I'm doing.
You gave me an analogy, and I think it's so important to understand this. In terms of grains of salt, describe how much is a fatal dose, how little is a fatal dose. It's an unbelievably shocking thing.
Okay, so just take a salt shaker, open up your palm, put some grains of salt on your palm. So think of it like this. 4 grains of salt is equivalent to 2 milligrams. 2 milligrams of fentanyl will kill. It's very, very tiny, right, if you look at the grains of salt. Now, to put it in more perspective, a kilogram is 2.2 pounds. Mm-hmm. If you look at 1 kilogram can kill 500,000 people.
Wow.
Based on the simple math of 2 milligrams can kill.
Right.
All right. And that's not a Derek Maltz assessment. That's coming from medical professionals, mm-hmm, that say anywhere from 2 to 4 milligrams. So even if it's 4 milligrams,
right,
it's still a hell of a lot of people.
It sure is.
So it's a warning that people have to realize that this can happen to any kid. One pill will kill. Mm-hmm. If you look at the DEA stats, it's the odds aren't that good. 4 out of 10 are going to kill you. That's not anything I want to play around with.
So we got about 30 seconds left in this segment. Let me ask you this. So a kid goes and buys it on the internet. What do those pills cost these kids?
Well, it depends where you're at. So if you buy one in Phoenix, Arizona, it might be $2. But if you buy one up in Maine or somewhere else, it could be $80.
Yeah.
So there's a big profit motive, and that's why the Mexican cartels are selling it, because they're making billions of dollars, just like they're making billions on the migrant smuggling now.
Right.
So business is booming. But here's the other thing that no one talks about. China is now providing the money laundering services for the cartels. So they're providing the chemicals to make it. They're providing the money for the cartels to get rich.
Yep.
So we need to go after them, too.
Can you stick around for another segment for
sure,
me? That'd be
100%.
Great. Derek Maltz is staying with us here. And if you got any questions or comments and you want to check in on this, we'll certainly take your calls, too. He's kind enough to stick around for one more segment. This is an atrocity. This is a tragedy. And we got to get a handle on this. We, the parents, we, the people, have got to be the people that are going to be talking about this, because these gutless politicians in Washington and in Raleigh, they're not going to talk about it. They're not going to talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Talk about it. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, continuing our conversation with Derek Maltz. Derek, we were talking about what's going on here with this fentanyl and these drugs that are coming in and killing our children. And you and I were talking during the commercial break. And the reality is, this is chemical warfare against our children. If an enemy came in and gassed a high school or a school and killed 400 people, I mean, we know how upset we get with mass shooters. But if you went in and killed them with poison, we'd be ready. America would be ready to go to war, but they're doing it one person at a time, and we're not waking up.
Right. 255 dead a day, according to CDC stats from 2020. Give you an example. Out in California, they just released in San Diego, 1,300% increase in fentanyl-related deaths in the last 5 years. In Orange County, California, the sheriff's released a report in July. There was a 1,067% increase. Okay. We're seeing report after report that the vast majority, like in Ohio, 85% of the deaths from drugs were fentanyl related. So it is a chemical weapon attack. Now, the way I say it is that the cartels are not really drug cartels. They're terrorists, because there's never been in the history of the country more terrorists. There's never been a terrorist organization killing our kids like these Mexican cartels are killing our kids.
Right.
So what are they? They're selling poison to kill. They're not selling poison for any other reason. They're making money, and they're killing. So the reality is they got to be treated as terrorists. And right now, I tried several years with a bunch of good people. They're still fighting to declare them terrorists and go destroy their production labs,
right,
shut down the money flow, shut down the chemical flow. But it's political now. So this is not a red or a blue issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue because the kids are dying everywhere.
When we were kids, we would see the movies, the videos about don't do drugs, don't take LSD, you're going to jump off a roof, you'll kill yourself. And a lot of them were scare tactics. I would imagine that the schools would want to have you come in and warn the kids. I mean, this is insane. Are you making any headway in terms of trying to reach out to these groups of kids?
Okay, so I'm making a lot of headway reaching out to kids, but like I live in Loudoun County, Virginia. You probably have seen the craziness on the national news.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to get critical race theory and changing the transgender rules and everything like that. You think they care about the kids dying? They wouldn't entertain me coming in there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we are trying hard to get the message out. It's very difficult talking to parents, getting video links. I made public warning messages. I push them out all over social media. I go speaking all the time to events. I was at a rally in New Jersey, 8,000 people at a music festival in Seaside Heights on Saturday. I drove up and back in the same day. I'm going to a rally in October. I stood out in front of the Chinese embassy here August 27th with families from all over America. We're going to continue to push, but we need the national news media, we need athletes, we need celebrities, we need role models to help. And right now, that's just not happening, so we just got to keep working at it.
For a lot of people, this is almost like a joke. You showed me a T-shirt that you were able to obtain over, at Amazon, right?
Yeah, I bought it because the families were devastated. So I went out, I did my own investigation. I was already on Newsmax telling the story. What does it say?
It says, keep calm and let fentanyl handle it, and it's got a syringe at the top of the T-shirt.
This is no joke. And this is being sold on our great company like Amazon. And I'm sure the executives don't realize this stuff's being sold, but it's
sure
disgusting.
You're trying to reach out there. You're trying to spread the word. One part that's overlooked in this, though, let's be honest, is you've got men and women in law enforcement, Border Patrol, Customs and Border Patrol, cops on the beat who get exposed to this. And kids, a kid might not even buy the pill. A kid may hand the kid a pill. He touches it, whatever. You're just touching it can kill you.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of debate about that. I don't really take a position on that because it's dangerous substance, obviously.
Right.
But when you listen to the medical professors, there's professional people, there's difference of opinions about when you touch it, what can happen. So my concern is the kids that are eating these pills dying, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the cops out there that are on the front lines that don't have the resources, that are understaffed, underpaid, they're mistreated all over the country. You got all these political lunatics that are looking to defund the police. Just look at the one stat I told you. DEA sees 9.5 million pills this year alone. If 40% of those pills are deadly, that means DEA alone seized over 3 million people.
It's unbelievable.
And so law enforcement is preventing, the deaths every day. They're saving lives. So they're out there doing the great work, great God's work, and they're not home with their families all the time. They're out there in the streets. But they have to get more resources. They have to be better trained. They have to get the technology, and they have to be basically supported. The morale isn't great around law enforcement agencies these days because they're just being mistreated.
When you look at this picture, and it's a scary picture, it's a devastating picture, but the reality is at the same time, this open border is open season on our kids, and you were talking about that with me earlier, the fact that they're just putting this on these exact same sort of rail lines, smuggling lines that run through the border that come up from Mexico. We got to secure the border, otherwise we're done for.
Right. So let's look at this for a second, right? So our Border Patrol is paid to do border security,
right,
not migrant care,
right,
and processing all day. So when they have like what they call flooding the zone techniques, like the cartels will flood a zone on the border with 50 migrants, right?
Right.
That causes the Border Patrol to immediately go to those migrants and have to start processing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, the cartels send the special interest aliens and their drugs over the unattended border.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring the guns and the money southbound.
Mm-hmm.
There's no coverage.
Right.
There's no one there. There's no one watching them. There's no wall.
Right.
So the cartels are taking advantage of this horrible process and this open border. It makes no sense. I don't know how anybody can think it makes sense. Unfortunately, it's inundating not only our cities with the poison, but the cartels are able to get their key personnel in the cities around America. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the other thing that people are forgetting.
Yep.
These people are coming here to work, to move this poison. So they're facilitating the death and the destruction.
Yeah. We're about three football fields away from that Capitol right there, right behind us. And what's your message to those men and women there that are, you know, angry about Green New Deals and things like that? What would you say to those people right
now? Well, first of all, okay, I worked in the Beltway the last 10 years of my career. I came up with a term. It's the land of the make-believe. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors over there. There's self-centered, egotistical people that don't care about the public. They care about themselves and their bank accounts, and they're making a ton of money. You know, when you look at some of these congressmen and women that come in, and they come in at $170,000, whatever they make,
yep.
and then they leave multimillionaires. How's
yeah.
that happen?
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, I don't even want to talk to them now because they're not authentic people.
Right.
They don't care what
right.
I say.
Right.
I mean, I've met them. I testified on March 11th. Mm-hmm. Do you know it took me an hour and a half to get into the building because of those crazy fences and the walls that were up? So I told them on the record, I said, I now know walls and fences work because it took me an hour and a half to get into this building.
Yep.
Right. But then they don't want to. The military was guarding the Capitol. Meanwhile, no one's guarding the border.
Right.
It was disgusting. So I've lost confidence. I gave them the photographs of these kids. I put it in their face. We put it on the congressional record on March 11th. What do you hear from them?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Zero. Crickets. What's a website where people can look at what you're doing or your Facebook page? You know, feel free to absolutely mention
So basically, there's three places right now. I have a personal national security public safety Facebook group. And then I have my friend set up the Lost Voices of Fentanyl, which is really good. The Fentanyl Coalition are the two main sites for the fentanyl stuff. You could read the stories about the kids that are dying. But then I also have a YouTube channel. I post every appearance on national media. I post all kinds of stuff, documentaries that we've done and been involved in. And then, of course, my Twitter is DerekMaltz_senior at Twitter, and I post a lot of stuff on Twitter. But again, I don't have multi-millions of followers. I need people to push it out to their networks as well. This is going to be a group effort.
Well, this is the start of a longer-term conversation. We got to save these kids. Thank you for your service, what you're doing, and your sacrifice. Try to save these kids from the real demons in the world today. I appreciate you being here, Derek.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it, too.
All the best.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is that time that we cross the streams. It's an unusual time to cross the streams, but the streams are being crossed nevertheless. And there's nobody we want to cross the streams with more than Mr. Bo Thompson. Hello, Bo Thompson. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I don't know if you realize this, but you're in D.C. People are losing their minds over Mick Jagger showing up at a small bar in Charlotte last night.
And what did you think? What did you say to him when you saw him?
I said, it's 11:10 a.m. at 99.3 FM.
Ah, very nice. Hey, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention you got this amazing Rolling Stones concert coming up tonight, and the Doghouse is open for the Stones concert, so we certainly want to invite folks to come by and say hey. So what are you thinking, Bo Thompson? I mean, how you feeling about all this? In some ways, it's incredible to think that we're getting back to these big-time concerts despite the protestations and things like that that people are saying. I think it's fantastic, personally.
Oh, it's great. I love it. And, you know, one thing about David Tepper is he has, and the pandemic has obscured this a little bit, as it's obscured many things, but, you know, when he got here, he said, I want to start using the stadium for more things other than just Panthers games, and he obviously has brought in the soccer team, but, you know, the concerts, you know, there's eventually going to be a Billy Joel concert. We assume that Garth Brooks is going to come back at some point. There are a few other ones on the schedule in addition to the Rolling Stones, but, you know, you could count on one hand the number of concerts that Bank of America Stadium had in its first, 25 years of existence. It's just, they don't do it very often, but now they have this synthetic field that they put in, and part of the reason is so that when they have things like tonight, you know, it used to be that you had to be careful with, you can't remove the grass, so you had to make sure that or deal with the fact that it got beaten up and trampled on every time you did something like a concert. But I think, you know, to your point, this is great for Charlotte. I think the thing that at the Thirsty Beaver last night, I'm in the studio this morning, Brett, and Pat McCrory was with me, as you know.
And yes, that's right.
During a break, he comes over and he says, some guy just sent me this picture of Mick Jagger at a bar last night, and I looked at it, and we were about to go back on the air, and I said, that can't be Mick Jagger, because look at the people around him. I said, nobody's even noticing that he's there. He's just standing. And I sort of zoomed in on it, and I said, that does look like Mick Jagger. That's a pretty good disguise or whatever makeup he's wearing. And then we come back from the next break, and he shows me the screenshot of someone else who was actually from the Mick Jagger's Twitter or Instagram feed. And then I said, holy cow, that really is from him. So... it's been
so like my understanding is that the bar where they built the development around the bar?
The Thirsty Beaver's over in Plaza Midwood. I've never actually been there, but I've heard about it for years, and I know people who
well, now you gotta go. See, you gotta go to a fact fighting tour.
That moment is that as if they weren't. I mean, they're an institution in of themselves to there are people there who love going to that place. Brett Jensen's one of them, surprise surprise. But now, you know, this takes to a whole different level. But
now,
I don't know. I just tweeted out a few minutes ago, because you're seeing people all around Charlotte. You know, some people are losing their minds. There are other people who are saying, this is so like Charlotte to get all excited about a celebrity coming here.
It's a big celebrity.
My response to that is, it's not about Charlotte. If this I would contend if this happened in Dallas, or if this happened in Chicago, or if this happened in Boston.
Definitely.
The same thing, and Mick Jagger was able to walk in unnoticed and take a picture in the setting that you see in that picture that he posted. If he does that in any city in this country, it's not about the size of the city, it's about the size of the rock star.
Of course, TMZ would be up on it in L.A.
Yeah,
I mean, just because he's who he is.
I like the Stones. I'm not the world's biggest Stone. I mean, you know where my allegiances lie. But I grant you, and I understand the Stones are on the, you know, I mean, they're behemoths, they're legends, and this is not like like Brooks and Dunn are in Charlotte tonight as well. If Brooks and Dunn had pulled this off and people started going nuts, nothing against Brooks and Dunn, but you know, I could see that response. But this is Mick Jagger. This is like, you know, I mean, this is like Michael Jackson in the middle of the '80s walking in a place. I mean, that, you know,
I think
bigger rock stars than Mick Jagger.
I think that Mick should cover Boot Scoot Boogie tonight.
Well, after the Power of Love.
Okay, see, we've eaten up so much time. Let me ask you this question on the way out the door. It's this, Bo Thompson. Does this rise to the level of Plaquify? Do you Plaquify that moment where you say, on this date in this place he was having drinks?
You mean like a historical marker?
Yes.
That's a great idea. Out in front of the boy, that'll make sure the Thirsty Beaver never goes anywhere.
Let's Plaquify it. Let's start the movement. We're gonna Plaquify it. All right. Okay. Quick. Who you got on the show tomorrow?
We have Charlotte's most beloved John Hancock on the show tomorrow.
He'll want to Plaquify it. You ask.
Brett Jensen is going to the Stones concert tonight, and I've got another mole at the concert. Kenny Smith is going to join me. So, even though I can't go,
look at this.
I will vicariously live through others who will witness this.
Plaquify it, baby. All right, man. I appreciate you. We'll talk in the morning.
Plaquify Brett Winterbull. That's what we need to do first.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Woo! Hour number three of the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here in Washington, D.C. at the Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row with Fair. And I am so happy to welcome our next guest to the program, someone whose work I've greatly admired and respect, all the hard work that you did. Mark Morgan joins us, and he was the acting commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, and it is wonderful to have you here, Mark. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
You know, you've worked at a number of different levels of law enforcement, from the LAPD all the way up to the federal level there with the border. I imagine the border has got to be the most complicated series of problems that you had to face in your time.
It has, and it, you know, it won't be surprising to your listeners. And the main reason why is because it was infused with politics, mm-hmm. right? Most of my law enforcement career, we did the right thing for the right reasons to protect the Americans and put America first, and politics was not a part of it. What made it complicated was you know, really two things, the magnitude and scope of the mission, but also that it politics just screws it up at every single angle.
I mean, here we are about 1,000 feet away from the Capitol there. They're debating and they're talking, and inside what they're talking about are amnesties,
yes.
and defunding the border and all that sort of stuff. How do they not understand the danger that we're facing, or do they not care?
I think it's both. I think they understand and they don't care, right? And this is what I get asked. I just get asked this a lot. Look, I've served this country for 35 years, you know, six administrations, a Republican, Democrat. I was chief of the Border Patrol under the Obama administration,
right?
And the commissioner of CBP under the Trump administration. This is not a right or left thing, Brett. This is an American thing. And I get so frustrated that everything that we achieved was just systematically undone with a stroke of a political pen when President Biden took over.
And that seemed to be his top priority, didn't it? It was the first or second thing, killing the Keystone XL pipeline and opening the border, despite the fact that he says the border's not open.
That's right. That's exactly right. And look, at the end of the day, I've had the experience, I've worked for those administrations, what I see happen in the Southwest border, that every aspect, Brett, of our public safety, our public health, and our national security is jeopardized. We are less safe today than we were 9 months ago. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. It defies logic and common sense. And so I can draw no other conclusion. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it for a perceived political benefit. They think they're going to get an increase in House seats because illegal aliens are encountered in the census, and they're doing a long game. Or they, in addition, they feel that every illegal alien they get find a pathway to citizenship is going to equate to a Democratic vote. It's for perpetual political power. It's disgusting.
I heard something. You were doing an interview with one of our neighbors here, and I heard you talking about this earlier today. People think it's Mexico or the Triangle countries.
Right.
How many countries is it that we're getting people in from?
Brett, this is a great question. We don't talk about it enough. Thank you so much. When we talk about like the national security threat, let me walk down why we say that. The Border Patrol this fiscal year alone have apprehended illegal aliens from 148 different countries. Romania, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, China. I could go on and on and on. They've apprehended 14 illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database, the most in history ever. They've arrested thousands of special interest aliens, those aliens that come from countries that we are keenly watching and aware of because of their potential connection and ties to terrorist organization or terrorist activity. That's the fact. Right now, our borders are wide open, uncontrolled. It's an extreme vulnerability. You don't think the terrorist organization are at least taking a look at it? Of course they are.
They are, and they're keying on all the right spots where they're not going to be interdicted. Now,
that's right.
we just watched a lot of attention being paid to what's going on with the Haitian migrants who came up through Del Rio. They came up there because that was an easier spot to get into the country. We know that there are 20 or 30,000 behind. Congressman Cuellar has been like a Paul Revere riding around trying to warn everybody. There's another group coming up from Tamaulipas that are going to be making the way. What do we need to do? What do the American people need to do to support those men and women in law enforcement and in Border Patrol to re-secure this border?
Well, first, I'll steal President Trump's line. They had a couple months ago at a rally. President Biden, just go to the beach. Go to the beach and reinstate everything we were doing under President Trump. Reinstate the asylum cooperative agreements that said if you fail to claim asylum in a safe third country on your journey up, you're barred from claiming asylum. That will stop fraudulent claims. Reinstate the Remain in Mexico program that stopped the exploitation of a loophole that if you came to our border with a family, you were automatically released to the United States, never be heard from again. Reinstate Title 42, the CDC order that protects the further introduction of COVID-19 in the United States to protect Americans and build that wall. You do those things and you will see our border security exponentially go up, and you will see illegal immigration go down exponentially overnight, Brett.
All right. You saw it. You were front and center. You saw it right there with the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mark Morgan joining us here. In our last couple of minutes, I want to speak to something that I think is gravely misunderstood. I grew up in far west Texas on the border with Juarez. You look at the situation, and I think the supposition from these geniuses in D.C. is we didn't get along with the Mexican government. We didn't get along with the Mexicans. Right. We are putting more pressure on them now by these migrant flows than we ever did under the pressure from President Trump, because they were able to backstop us and we were able to backstop them without the flow. Am I right?
Brett, I could have said it better yourself. What we did for the first time ever under President Trump, and make no mistake, look, I got it, state was involved, we were involved with our counterparts, but make no mistake, this was done because of President Trump. He told the Northern Triangle countries, you're going to step up and address this as the regional crisis. You're going to join us, or those hundreds of millions of dollars, they're not going to come anymore. Mexico, you're going to step up and do what you need to do to help us address this as a regional crisis, or you're going to be impacted by tariffs. Well, Brett, how interesting, shocking, overnight, Northern Triangle country step up, Mexico stepped up, unprecedented. Not just their support in the Remain in Mexico program, but they increased their southern border security and interior support. Give you an example, in fiscal year 2020, guess how many caravans we had? Zero. Why? Because Guatemala and Mexico did their job, and they stepped it up, and they prevented those caravans from ever reaching our border.
So right now, the only country that's solidly safe and locked down is Canada.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it, Brett.
Where do people go to find you and follow the stuff that you're working on? Because I know you are instrumental in trying to get a more sane border policy.
Well, I appreciate you're too kind, but I'm a Newsmax contributor, so I really recommend them.
Outstanding.
Yeah, doing that. There's a lot of online aspects you can get, and fair.org as well as heritage.org as well.
Phenomenal stuff. You're a great patriot. I appreciate you doing what you did to help secure this border, and let's hope we get it back on track.
Thanks, Brett.
All the best. That's Mark Morgan. I'm Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110-993 WBT Boomer. How the roads?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. I know I've been remiss with the calls, and I'm sorry. I'm going to go out and grab some right now, I promise. Let's go to Brendan first up here. Hello, Brendan. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem. It's my third time I've gotten through now. I'm pretty excited about it. I have an analogy. I'm going to try to do it like you do, but do you like cookies?
I like cookies, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So you know how you have the baking pan, and you line it with the sheet, and then you get the spoon, and you deal out the cookie dough, and you make your cookies, and Washington is the spoon that the cookie dough sticks to after they've doled it out.
Very good. That's good. So you're saying why do we have to send money to Washington is because they're the sticky spoon.
Exactly. They get to keep it after they're done.
very good.
I'm glad I didn't kill the show like Jim. So.
You did not kill the show. No, Brandon. No. You did not kill the show at all. What do you think about all this? I mean, when you watch this fight that's going on over infrastructure and all the other stuff, I mean, what's your sense of this from your distant spot there?
Well, I really don't think the Republicans should cater to any of their needs, honestly. I mean, I wish that they would have a little bit more backbone, but I really don't trust any of them, so I don't think they're going to stand up for what's right in the long run anyways. As long as the pressure keeps piling up. So.
Right on.
I don't agree with any of the spending. Basically.
Yeah, it's absurd because we've actually gotten conditioned to talk about trillions at this point. And we've actually gotten conditioned to be in this place where people are saying, well, trillions are not enough. In fact, we've gotten so conditioned, it's now trillions are zero.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, I don't know why
I mean, I guess it would upset a bunch of people, but if we're going to raise taxes for anything, we need to raise taxes to go to the deficit. I mean, they can give everybody $1,200, but just think if they just took like $50 from everybody a couple times, you know, on schedule. I mean, that's my idea anyway. I mean, at least it would help. It'd be something.
This is why I say we need a fair tax. Just charge a sales tax on everything you buy. That way everybody is paying. Everybody is going to pay that tax, okay? Whether you're a black market criminal or you're an above board business person or you're a hedge fund or whatever, if you're buying stuff, you're paying taxes. And that's what we have to have. Look, here's your test, folks. I appreciate the call, Brendan. Here's your test. Your test is very simple. They ran on this thing called the carried interest, right? They say you should tax hedge fund wins as income. And when they go to do that, what happens? They immediately cave. The Democrats immediately cave on that. Why? Well, as Governor McCrory mentioned earlier this morning, he was on with Bo, and I jumped in there for a minute on the segment. It's because the big, super wealthy billionaires put Biden in. Mike, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Sir, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, I've been listening to Rush Limbaugh since 2007 when Senator Obama won the primary against Hillary Clinton. And I've spent a lot of time disagreeing with Rush, and there's been some points that I've had to agree with him on. And mainly it was how race relations were dealt with in America. I agreed with him. I didn't think that everything was a racial issue. Now, in saying that, the way our country is handling the fentanyl opioid crisis removes any doubt that this country is racially biased against people of color. And I say that based on how this country dealt with the crack cocaine epidemic. The cocaine that was being funneled into our country by our government. On top of that, we built prisons. We enacted new laws. But what we didn't do is say, hey, those people are addicted to crack. They're a medical issue. No, we turned them into criminals, into monsters. But the opioid crisis is the complete opposite. We want to hug those victims of that crime. But the other drug crimes, it's the complete opposite. And I have a hard time rationalizing our response to that because I lived through the crack epidemic.
I think we did over punish and over prosecute in the crack epidemic. And unfortunately, you have people that were politicians then that are still politicians now who endorsed that sort of response. And I think a lot of real estate has been built up in terms of working on pardons and commutations and giving judges discretion on whether or not, you know, the sentencing needs to be lighter. Obviously, the powdered cocaine versus crack cocaine, right?
Yes, sir.
But the reality is with fentanyl and opioids, but with fentanyl specifically, it is also hitting communities of color in an extremely tough way. And as a consequence, you know, this is poison. This isn't about getting high. This isn't about smoking a joint and getting high or even snorting coke. This drug exists to kill our children, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whoever. And as parents, I mean, I'm a parent of a couple of teenagers. I don't want to see anybody have to bury their child because they took fentanyl. And I think it's that's sort of my, I mean, that's where my line is. I mean, I don't see it as a racial disparity. I think everybody who's being poisoned by this, this has got to stop.
Oh no, sir, I agree 135%. It really and truly needs to be brought to an end.
Yeah.
Again, being a person of color in America, I got to see the children growing up without parents. Because they were in jail because of crack cocaine. The shootouts in the streets. The documentary I watched, I believe it was called Cocaine Cowboys, that documented the cocaine epidemic in Miami, the shootouts in public places.
Right.
And again, if people who use those drugs were allowed, I don't know, an avenue to recover, if our government came out and said, hey, look, you're a victim. You tried something that you were unaware of what it would do to you. Let us help you, instead of saying, hey, you need to go to jail for 5 to 10 years. Then perhaps today I could look and say, hey, it was equal.
Well, on that we're going to disagree, because I think anybody who's losing their lives to an overdose, however you're flirting with drugs, it should not carry a death penalty. I mean, it's that simple. I appreciate the call, Mike. Appreciate you.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Being out there. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Well, 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 I come to Washington, D.C. I'm at the Fair Hold Their Feet to the Fire gathering. And who do I find? A man I just spoke to 2 weeks ago who was just in the Queen City. Our good friend Hogan Gidley. Good to have you back, man.
That's so great to be here. I'm up here doing radio. I look down, I'm like, I know you. What are you doing? What are you doing?
A friendly face. You know, look, we're documenting.
And I come to the Queen City.
That's it.
I call you.
That's right.
You come to D.C., I get nothing.
Oh, you see? I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
I'm going to step it up. You know what? I'm going to step it up by asking you great questions. How about this?
Okay.
Okay. We'll get to the immigration thing in a second.
Okay.
But let me ask you about this mess that's about 1,000 feet away from us right here. She's in charge, but she's not in charge. The president's in charge, but he's not in charge. Sinema and Manchin are public enemy number one and two. And $5 trillion's not enough to make anybody happy?
Look, it's all Trump's fault. That's all I know.
He didn't want infrastructure.
Yes, after all this, it's all Trump's fault. You know, you and I were talking in the break. It's not enough money, but but the money they are going to spend is going to be zero. And the analogy I've been trying to work with, because I'm a messenger, I was like, how could I? And I'm like, that's like me going to buy a car, and the guy says, the car's 10 grand.
Right.
I open up my wallet and say, great, here's 10 grand.
Right.
I come see you, and you say, how much was the car? And I say, nothing. Because I paid for it.
That's right.
Because I had the money to pay for it. That's what they're saying. They're going to spend these trillions of dollars and then say, but that didn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it is going to cost something. That's a joke.
Of course.
The price tag in Washington, as you know, is never what they say it is. You can just tack on trillions.
That's right.
No one's going to care.
That's right.
And, of course, the time frame they're taxing you is far past the time of spending. So the math is all fuzzy and messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is it's hurting the American people now.
Yep.
Inflation is killing us now.
That's right.
Goods and services are more expensive now.
That's right.
And on top of that, these clowns over my right shoulder are saying, no, that's not enough.
Right.
We got to spend more money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got us into this situation in the first place.
Well, we're going to spend more money. We got 1.6 million that came in the last year. This fiscal year under Biden at the border, we're going to be spending a lot more money. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't even spend the money that was allocated at the end of the Trump administration. They didn't even spend that money. I'm feeling like analogy guy here. You've seen when your kid, or maybe when you were a kid, you put more and more pie on your plate, but you're not even eating the pie.
Right.
What do we do? They didn't even spend that money.
That's right. And we had this argument with the press then, too. They wanted more money for schools, more money for things.
That's right.
And that's fine. Let's have that conversation. But let's spend the money you got first.
Exactly.
And they never think that way in Washington. Mm-hmm. As you know, it's not less is more. Mm-hmm. More is more. Mm-hmm. And they keep sucking away from the American people. And I love how they talk about taxes as though we can afford it.
Sure.
It's not their money. It's your money. What
That's
do you
right.
mean you can't
That's
afford
right.
tax cuts?
That's right.
You shouldn't have the money in the first place. The government doesn't create anything.
Yep.
The way they take money is through those taxes. And so the whole thing is insane. The American people know it. And I think they're starting to catch on and be a little angry about it.
When you watch somebody who is in the messaging business, as you are, Jen Psaki, sit there and just bold-faced, makes... It reminds me of Joey Suzu back when we were kids. I mean, just making up stuff. The press tries to, Ducey tries to call her on it. Newsmax will try to call her on it. Emerald tried to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But she just starts spinning, and they just lap it up, and they just play it like it's truthful.
They use her verbiage all the time.
Yep.
There was a great article by Jonah Goldberg about Joe Biden and the passive voice he uses and the verbs. Like, this is all happening to him.
Right.
Like, he had nothing to do with Afghanistan, hands up, nothing to do with the border, hands up, nothing to do with the economy, hands up. And the same thing applies to Jen Psaki when she says, no, the border's closed. Mm-hmm. Everyone else in the press room just nods, sure, that makes sense.
Right.
We're going to start saying the border is closed. She does that on a lot of different verbiages as well. But, you know, it's one thing to spin. That's what we all do. That's a tough job. Don't get me wrong. But now we know the president of the United States lied when he said, I got no information from my generals about the 2,500 troops that should stay back in Afghanistan.
That's right.
And why is he still up on Twitter? Why didn't he brought
That's
down
right.
for misinformation?
That's right.
Why isn't Jen Psaki being pulled off
That's
Twitter
right.
for misinformation,
That's
disinformation?
Right.
So the standard obviously doesn't exist. We know that. One thing Trump did that I thought was so good, he never whined about it. He
That's
just
right.
said, you guys are terrible. You know it. You're a bunch of liars. Fine. But he kept plowing forward what he
right.
wanted to do. And that's why the American people out there who on the ground are deciding to make these changes in the school boards, for
mm-hmm.
example, and take control of their child's education again,
sure.
which is good, when they're fighting for election integrity, we have stood up and said no more. The more local the government, the easier it is to effectuate change.
Right.
And you just have to keep fighting. The people are engaged like I've never seen them before, and I'm happy to be a part
so
of
So I'm
going to
make you get back on the strategist side of things here for a quick second. You
okay.
see Terry McAuliffe two nights ago say, that parents have no role to play in the Board of Education and what it is they're teaching your kids. I mean, that's got to be a money line that's going to get used from now till 22.
It looks like it. I've already seen ads pulled on it, but that's like, as we're doing analogies, I just thought to myself, that's like me giving money to a contractor, and the contractor says, you have no say-so in how this money is spent on your house.
That's right.
Like, the taxpayer is paying for these teachers' salaries.
That's right.
They should know what's in the curriculum. What's shocking to their side
mm-hmm.
is that all of a sudden, the engagement at the local level is there. They've never had to been accountable for any of this.
Yep.
They've gone along in their jobs, sometimes for decades,
mm-hmm.
not knowing the rules of elections,
right.
not realizing what's in these textbooks to change subjects.
Sure, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, the parents are like, no, I'm involved now. And by the way, it's not as hard as I thought.
That's right.
You guys are a bunch of clowns.
Yep.
You're not teaching my children this anymore.
Yep.
America's a great place, and I'm here to tell you, it ends today.
Yep.
So I'm thankful that they're doing it.
So we just got to play the opposite game with them. Everything they say we know is the opposite, and we just
right.
got to unwire it, right?
That's right.
Hogan Gidley, where do people go to find you? I know you're a Newsmax contributor. You're doing great stuff. You see you on Fox Business at time to time. I mean, you're everywhere, man. It's just good to see you here.
It's good. It's good to see you, too. Look, you can follow me anywhere on Twitter or Instagram, at J Hogan Gidley. Make sure you put the J in there. Some people forget that. But J Hogan Gidley, because there are a lot of shady accounts that aren't me. That's fine. But, look, I think all the information is there for what we're doing for the country over at AFPI and the Center for Election Integrity. And, of course, all my hits I put up there,
yep.
too. And try to remind people just how we're fighting. So,
is 22 going to look like 94? It's going to be bigger.
Well, I've said this before. You know, Republicans have an uncanny ability to snatch that defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah.
But right now, if things continue the way they are, I think everything's moving in our direction because policies matter.
Yeah.
And the policies that are in place now are hurting people, and we can't have that anymore.
Great to see you, man. I appreciate you coming by today.
Great to see you,
too.
Thanks
appreciate
so much.
You. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
News Talk 11.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
10 to 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, and I'm happy to be joined by somebody who's got a lot of expertise on this immigration issue. Rob Law joins us here from the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.
That's correct.
And your specialty is very interesting to me because you look very closely at the regulatory affairs and the regulatory issues surrounding immigration, both legal and illegal, right?
Exactly, yes.
So when you look at what we've got, I mean, because I'm a numbers guy. We had Mark Morgan on earlier. So we've got about 1.6 million who have come in this fiscal year across the border that we know of. Tom Homan says he thinks it's another 300,000 on top of that, so we're probably closer to 2 million for the fiscal year. And Mark Morgan tells me that they're from 148 countries around the world. So these are not all Haitian migrants fleeing earthquakes or hurricanes. These are not all Triangle Country people. These are not Mexico people. These are people who are in Romania and Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Yemen and places like that. We look at this. Have we lost our mind? I mean, collectively speaking, have we lost our mind in terms of managing our border?
Absolutely. President Biden inherited the most secure border ever, thanks to the Trump policies, and the most streamlined system to vet so-called asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. And what all of these populations have in common is they are economic migrants who are exploiting the asylum system mm-hmm. to try to use that as their ticket into the interior. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets glossed over. They say, oh, they're seeking asylum. No, they're saying that they are. They right. don't meet the standard. And they know that they don't meet the standard. And frankly, I think, you know, the progressive left and the, you know, the business right know that. They just don't care. They just see opportunity to bring new people into this country, wave them in, and they say, oh, yeah, please show up at court. But 3 years from now, because you've systemically overloaded the court docket, mm-hmm. thanks to, you know, the Obama years. And we did the best we could when I was in the Trump administration to sort of chip away at that. But it was so bad that
sure.
any noticeable gains quickly disappeared. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, and I think a lot of people don't realize this, after you've been waiting around for a certain period of time, you can get a work permit while you wait. So you have no lawful presence in this country, mm-hmm. but it is okay to work. That is just, it's so backwards, it's baffling, and it's harmful, and that's exactly why they're all coming.
How short are we in terms of, how big is the backlog for the immigration courts? Do you have a rough idea?
I believe it's still roughly well over a million.
Okay, so a million. So we're obviously short judges in that regard. We're obviously short the processing in that regard. So we just say, okay, the bowl is too full, or the box is too full, so we're just going to let you all come out, and then you'll come back and you'll be processed. But during that time, you'll be accessing American social service programs. You'll be accessing employment. You'll be using school systems for your kids, all that sort of stuff. And you're probably not paying income tax.
Exactly. And, you know, you might start a family. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once that happens, that's game over. You're definitely mm-hmm. never going to get returned. And that's exactly why the Remain in Mexico policy, or the Migrant Protection Protocols, MPP, mm-hmm. was so effective. You know, it was going to take time during the Trump administration to work down the immigration court backlog. Mm-hmm. But the best way to prevent it from growing mm-hmm. was to say, you'll have your day in court, but you have to wait in Mexico until mm-hmm. that court date arrives. Mm-hmm. Once word got out that that was the policy, or you could go seek asylum in one of the neighboring, you know, triangle countries that, you know, you really came from, that didn't look as enticing. And people kind of just turned around and went back home. And said, well, hang on a second. If
right.
Now all of a sudden you can go back home.
Right.
I guess you weren't fleeing persecution. Mm-hmm. You took a chance at a higher paying job in the United States. And now that avenue has been cut off because of the Trump policies, you turned around and left. And then the second Joe Biden and every other Democrat raised their hand during the 2020 primaries and said, I'm not going to deport a single illegal alien, not even the worst criminal, murderer, rapist, right. you name it. They said not a single one for the first 100 days. All of a sudden, everybody started mobilizing, and it was, let's get here. And now it's just, once it happened, it's just like the water came over the dam, and now it's not stopping.
One of the things that I think is so overlooked is the fact that if you do want to deport somebody, if you go in front of a judge, and the judge says, okay, you can deport them, they got to go, their country of origin still gets a vote, and they can say no, right? And these folks end up back on our streets.
Well, exactly. And that's what's so frustrating. And that was something, that, again, that the Trump administration tried to combat, which was to say, all right, we need travel documents. Well, you know, the Trump administration came up with some policies that said, well, for certain countries, you don't need travel documents. And mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. complex reasons for why that was a lawful thing to do.
Sure.
And other times it was, well, now's a chance to play hardball, particularly countries like India and China, mm-hmm. who they say, okay, we'll take a couple, or we'll pick the names of who we want to return. Well, you know, if you start saying, well, we'll cut off the ability for you to have these types of guest workers or tourists,
right.
Then that's not going to fly, or something to do with trade, or whatever the case may be. There are other stick and carrot, you know, gamesmanship, essentially,
right.
to get you to go on board. But because our Supreme Court, I think in a very misguided opinion a number of years ago, said you can't indefinitely detain an illegal alien subject to removal, mm-hmm. they get cut loose. And China, frankly, is one of the worst abusers of that. They refuse to take their people back.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, year after year, how many of their students do we let in?
Sure.
F1s.
That's right.
And then they get work permits. They are, frankly, you know, raiding our labs and stealing
right.
our
sure.
intellectual property.
Right. Confucius like, Institutes. I mean, you've got all this sort of stuff that's
exactly.
Yeah.
And so that really, there are plenty of tools available to an administration to cut off all visas
mm-hmm.
For countries that refuse to take back their nationals.
In our last couple of minutes here, language means a lot, obviously. In the law, it means a lot. And in other areas, it means a lot. We've gone from illegal alien to undocumented immigrant to immigrant to migrant. And I think the migrant part of it is the part that's where we start to get detached and it just becomes a purely economic matter. Is that, am I reading that right?
You're absolutely right. And that's something that I hone in on all the time is the language does matter. You know, the word alien is in our immigration laws. It's a very precise and accurate word. And this notion that somehow it's dehumanizing is just mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. And then people conflate immigrant, which is, you know, permanency,
right.
whereas alien is temporary, essentially. And then they say migrant. Well, migrant, think of like a migratory bird.
Mm-hmm.
That means they go one way in south for winter and then they come back.
Right.
These folks are only going one direction. They're not.
But Jen Psaki says they're not going to stay here for long. We don't need to right. COVID test them. They're temporary. I mean,
well, she says a lot of things
yeah.
that you know the facts suggest otherwise. Yeah, and now you know now they've banned the word alien and called them non-citizens. That is also an inaccurate word.
Right.
And it basically says. It says nothing, and it fails to take into account sort of obscure populations that most people don't know about, like the people who live on the Mariana Islands,
sure.
on the Pacific, and
mm-hmm.
in other places. Those are actual like non-citizens. Someone who is a national of another country on our soil and subject to our immigration laws, they're an alien. It's not a yeah. dehumanizing word. But when you make the words mean nothing,
right.
then it can be whatever it is you want it to be, and that's how it starts to become sounding sympathetic. And that's the goal.
Where do people go to find out more information about what you're up to and the organization so they can get more information?
Great, thank you. So Center for Immigration Studies, simple enough, CIS.org.
CIS.org. Rob Law, this is the first of what I hope will be many conversations. I appreciate you coming by on the show today.
Absolutely.
Charlotte.
Look forward to joining you again.
All the best. That's Rob Law. I'm Brett Wooderbell. That's going to do it for us. I'll be back in Charlotte tomorrow starting at 3, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.